this message. You can be turning to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. The exhortation, or the command, that is, that comes to preacher in Isaiah 40. Did you preach on that, Terry? You said, we talked about it. To comfort ye, he says. There's a double command there, comfort. The preacher is to give. But he needs to exercise care in that he doesn't make those who need to be a little uncomfortable, too comfortable, in not being committed to Christ yet. We're not to make those who have never truly committed to Christ too comfortable, because they're not in a comfortable position. So my message is twofold purpose. Number one, to warn those who either have no interest in Christ and the gospel, or are maybe presumptuous, think that they're all right when they're not. And secondly, it's to comfort those who do have a true saving interest in Christ and who know and love Christ, but yet have some doubts and fears about their state, about their relationship with Christ. So there's something for everyone here, because there's one of those sorts of people in here, some of both. He says in 2 Corinthians 13, look at verse 5. I'm going to use this one verse as a text. He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? He says, examine yourselves. And I want to deal with this need for self-examination. Some people will say, when they hear this, well, it's not good to be looking within. It's not good to look for evidences. We shouldn't try to find something in ourselves for encouragement. God's Word says here in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourself, doesn't it? God's Word tells us over and over again, words like this, try yourself, examine, prove, know yourselves. Examine, the word examine means to, any of you have been to a physician, you've had an examination. That means he or she, the doctor, gives you a thorough going over, right? They search your body. Well, the Scriptures tells us that we're to examine ourselves, our hearts, our souls, our minds. Search, judge, try. When you make an examination, say a man is on a witness stand and the prosecutor or defense attorney comes up and examines his testimony. He goes in great detail, doesn't he, to see what that man knows. He's searching him. He's trying him, proving him. This is what it says to us. We're to search and judge, try, prove, come to some conclusion about ourselves. Is that what it's saying? Come on now. This is a needful message, vital. I couldn't preach a more important message this morning. Now, it's true that we're not to look to ourselves. We're not to look to ourselves, but we are to look at ourselves. You know something about the difference? We're not to look within for evidences to try and commend us to God, or certain things that we can find, say, there, now, see, God? But there are certain evidences that must be there. And if we're to have any assurance, those evidences must be there. Now, stay with me. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said about this text. Listen. He said, self-examination is the safest cure for half the doubts and fears that vex God's people. And I added this. And it would convict the unsaved and point them to Christ. A real self-examination. Now, you've got to know what I mean, what is meant by this before you, in order to understand. Self-examination is the safest cure for half the doubts and fears that vex God's people, and it would convict the unsaved and point them to Christ. All right, let's look into it now. What does this mean? Self-examination. What does it mean? Well, let me tell you, like Gill would do, what it's not. First, self-examination. He says, examine yourselves. It's not trying to find something about yourself, as I said, something about yourself to commend you to God. Try to find something, and that is enough repentance. Well, here, I made it. I've got enough repentance. So now surely God will accept that. Or here, I've got enough faith. Surely God will accept this. I'm believing now. Or here, I've got enough morality. Surely God will accept that. I've come up to that. Enough sincerity. I'm real sincere now, and surely God will accept that. No, that's not it. It's not trying to see if you have reached a certain standard, met certain conditions. Say, well, I've lived up to that. Now I've made it. That's not it. To see if that's it. Not it. But it is. Self-examination is a sincere, a true looking at, searching of your own heart and mind. A sincere looking at and searching of your own heart and mind to see if, and our text goes on to say, you be in the faith. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Based on God's command here, this is God's Word. We must be willing to take an honest, we better take an honest, hard look at ourselves. If we're afraid to do so, if we're afraid to look within and examine in close scrutiny our own heart, mind, and soul, then we're probably a hypocrite or a reprobate or one that doesn't care. Someone may be in here right now is thinking, I sure wish this was over with, or I'll be glad when, you know, I get out of here or whatever. That person who has no desire whatsoever to know themselves, to get to the heart and soul of their state before God, that person is lost. We're going to be examined by God someday. Right? And it's not going to be for what we profess to be, but it's going to be for what we are. Notice I didn't say what we do, did I? I said what we are. What we are, not what we profess to be, not what we want people to think we are, but what we are, the reality. In other words, we are a certain way. What manner of man and women and people we really are, we are before God. God knows us. Then we shall know even as we have been known, the Scripture says. And he says here, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. What is it? What does that mean? Are you in it? Are you in the faith? Now, I could not preach a more important message this morning. Please give me your undivided attention. Turn with me to John chapter 2 now. John chapter 2. What does it mean to be in the faith? In the faith. Well, the word faith simply means, the word faith simply means belief or trust, right? We all place faith in certain things and people at various times, belief, trust. Look at John chapter 2. John chapter 2, but there is a faith. There is a faith which is not the faith. There is a counterfeit faith. There's a faith that won't save you. And a multitude of people have it. Look at it here in John 2, verses 23 through 25. Our Lord, now when it was in Jerusalem at the Passover, when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men. He knew their heart and soul and needed not that any should testify of man, but He knew what was in man. See, faith is the gift of God, and He knows when it's there and when it's not, right? He's the one that gave it. But there are many people who believe facts. Many people have feelings. Faith is not in facts. Faith is not to be in feelings. Faith in miracles. Many people believe, see things they can't explain, so they believe. Believe what? Faith in religion. A lot of people put faith in religion, just being religious. You know, makes them feel good and makes them feel accepted to God. The fact that here I am all dressed up Sunday morning and I'm not out there running around and I'm a good church folk now and therefore I'm all right. That's not faith. Faith, many people have faith in faith. And our Lord said here that some believed when they saw the miracles, but He did not commit unto them. He knew what was in them. Do you believe there's one God? Now, men preach from this pulpit and others that God is God. Do you believe there's one God? Or the fact that there's one God. James said the devils do that, and the more they tremble. Do you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of this man named Jesus that walked there? Do you believe that? Facts, that won't save you any more than believing 2 plus 2 is 4. Won't save you. Facts. Do you believe in faith? You got to have faith. Well, I know you just got to have faith. Believe in miracles, religion, that won't save you. That won't save you. Mm-mm. True faith is in a person. True faith is not in a thing or in fact. It's in a person. I want to try to make this as plain as possible. There are facts to be believed. We must believe certain facts that God has given. We're to believe everything. I'll go so far as to say that we got to believe everything God says. Everything God says, questioning none of it. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's faith. God believing those facts, yeah. Turn to Romans chapter 10 with me. Romans chapter 10. Whatever God says in this book, faith says that's true, that's right. I believe that. Right? Certainly we're to believe facts. We must know what we believe. Right? You remember, Terry, when the Lord said that to the woman at the well? He said, you don't know what you believe. Didn't he? He said, we know what we believe. Didn't he? He said, salvation is of the Jews. In other words, what he said, we believe God elects a people. Well, you don't go preaching election. Somebody's never, you know, that's not the way you witness people to preach election. The Lord did. He said, we know what we believe. We believe in election. But that he didn't stop there, and that's not where you stop either. And there's a doctrine to be believed. There's doctrine to be believed. Yes. There's the doctrine of faith. Do you know what you believe? Do you know what you believe? If you don't know what you believe, you probably don't know who you believe. If you know something about God, about Christ, about His work, then you don't have faith. You don't know. There's some kind of feeling you have, right? Some kind of emotional, sentimental feeling. Faith is based upon the Word of God, isn't it? This is the foundation of faith, what God says in His Word. And we believe those facts about the person, the character, attributes of God. Oh, we could go into this, couldn't we? Whatever God says about Himself, Joe, of faith says that's right. Right? That's what God said it. That settles it. Thank God I believe it. Doesn't settle it when I believe it. But thank God that He settled it in my own mind. That God's holy, God's sovereign, God's judge. The fact of what God says about us. Dead in sin, corrupt. The fact of what God says about Christ. That He's the only way. Election by the Father, that God elects the people. The fact. You've got to believe that fact. I can't emphasize that any stronger. People that don't believe the fact don't have faith. Right? Whatever God says is true. It's just. It's right. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. Right? Walking with God is faith. Walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Can two walk together? Do we walk with God lest we be agreed? God says this. God says that. We say, I don't know if I believe that or not. That's not faith. So we must believe fact. All right? The fact that God elected a people, that redemption is by the Son. The fact that salvation's in the blood of Christ. That's what Paul said in Romans. Faith in His blood. Justified by faith in His blood. The fact of regeneration by the Spirit. That there's no other way. Salvation is of the Lord. All right? All of this is truth. This is the gospel. Doctrine of the gospel. The doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of salvation. The truth of who God is and what man is and who Christ is and what the Holy Spirit must do for us. Facts to be believed. But it goes deeper than that. Come on now. Come on. Stay with me. It goes deeper than that. I'm trying to be as clear, simple, hold you as I can. It's God's Spirit up to Him. Look at verse 10, Romans 10. Here's what he says. Here's what God says about faith. Romans 10:10. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Modern religion's got this backwards, don't they, Joe? They talk about the word of faith. They talk about speak it. Just speak it and it'll come. No, that's superstition. With a heart, you can't confess what you don't believe. You can't confess what you don't believe. Truly. From the heart, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. True faith, listen to me now. True faith, to be in the faith, is, like I said, number one, it's the doctrinal knowledge, yes. But number two, it's to have a heartfelt knowledge and belief and love for Jesus Christ. A heartfelt love for Him. And let me say this for your comfort, for some people's comfort. I know we're flesh. We are flesh and blood. God is spirit. And that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. And as high above flesh as the heavens are above the earth. And no man has seen God at any time. Nobody in here has seen God. Nobody in here has seen Jesus Christ with these eyes. Nobody in here has handled Jesus Christ. Some men did, thank God. Some women did, but we haven't. But he said, Peter said to us, whom having not seen, you love? Can you love somebody you've never seen, never touched, never handled, never felt, has never actually spoken an audible word to you? Sure you can. I've told you that story before about that book about the man who was corresponding with a woman, writing letters back and forth. And he never met her and she had never met him. They never laid eyes on one another. And they fell in love through their letters. And you know that, and that finally that man died. And the woman scraped up enough money to go over there where he had been, but they fell in love with one another. They'd never met. They'd never met. Yet they truly loved one another. How? Through the correspondence. And this is how God reveals Christ to human beings. Through this Word. It's called the written Word, but it's also called the incarnate Word. Or Christ Himself is called the Word. The Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Son, of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we've never seen Him. But yes, I have. Where? In a dream, in a vision at night, in my closet, in my bed, huh? No, you're not going to see Him that way. Right here. And it just as really, and this picture is much more accurate than these ones people have hanging on their walls. Those are counterfeits. Those are forgeries. They don't look anything like Him. But Revelation 1 does. And Genesis 3:15 does. Huh? And all those verses of Scripture, Genesis 24 and so on. 22, pictures of Christ. I've seen Him just clearly. Have you seen Him? Is He real to you or what? Not a figment of your imagination. And I'm not trying to get mystical here. This is real. The Holy Spirit, this is how He bears witness with your spirit. How? A special dream, a special revelation, a voice in the night, an experience, through the Word. Have you seen Him? Terry, He's more real than you are. You might be a figment of my imagination right there. I might be dreaming this, but I'm not dreaming this. And I've not followed cunningly devised fables. Men didn't dream this up. It's too deep. It's too mysterious. It's too glorious. It's too complex. It all comes together. It's just too... I can't put it into words. It's too, as I said before, too much Christ in it. And He's real, I'm telling you. He's real. And that's how He's revealed to us, through this book. And if you don't see Christ, don't blame me. Especially if you don't look into this book, if you don't call upon Him, if you don't ask Him to reveal Himself to you. He said, ask and you'll receive. He said, seek and you'll find. Didn't He? He said, knock. What is that asking, seeking, and knocking? What we're doing right here. It's prayer. It's reading the Word of God. It's seeking the Lord. Where is He to be found? Right here. Right here this morning. Trying to impart to you just about everything I know about faith. What it is. Faith. Do you love God as God? Do you? As He's revealed in the world. Not like you think He is, but as He is. Do you love God as God, like He's revealed in the Scriptures? Huh? When you read those verses that He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven, and God is holy, 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 and just and righteousness, whatever. Do you love God like that? Oh, yes, you say. In the heart, you say, that's my God. Do you say that? With the heart? Not in the head. You say, well, it says that, so therefore it must be so. No, in the heart, that's my God. That's my Christ. Oh, there's me. That's me. Oh, there's Christ on the cross. Yes. Huh? See what I'm trying to say? With the heart, man believes. Do you love the truth? Do you love it? Paul said there were some people, told the Thessalonians, there were some people who didn't love the truth. Didn't love the truth. So God sent them strong delusions, sent them what they were looking for. Delusions, miracles, wonders, signs. He said, that's for the unbelievers. I'll let them have it. But those that are looking for truth, I want to know God. I want to know the true God. I want to know how I know the true God. I want to know Christ. I want to know how man's saved. I want to know the truth. Tell me the truth. God tells it to you. What do you do? What's your reaction? Huh? He tells you the truth. What's your reaction to it? Well, I don't like that. Lost. You're lost. When He tells you the truth, you say, that's right. That's right. I believe that. That's so. I love it that way. That's faith. Do you truly believe in the heart? Do you truly love the gospel? Huh? Man, the gospel is just talking about the glories of Christ, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and what He did. Do you love that? How could anybody have any argument with the gospel? Particular redemption. Huh? Joe, how? They're not in the faith. That's how. Not in the faith. But do you love it? And you say, that's all my salvation. Covenant. Oh. Do you love the gospel of God's glory? Huh? Well, you get none at all. He gets it all. You love that? Do you love the gospel of electing grace? Do you love particular redemption? I told Brother Ralph, said, Ralph, I've got to preach this gospel. Paul said, woe is unto me if I don't. Plus, he said, you know, I see in the faces the reactions of people when I preach the old story. Same old thing I've been hearing all those years. I see the same enthusiasm, the same joy, the same thing they heard in the very beginning that thrilled their hearts, that turned them from darkness to light, that took them out of captivity and set them free. The same thing that they heard back then is the same thing they rejoice in now. They get just as excited about it. I see that in people who have been hearing it for 30 and 40 years. You'd think, well, haven't you heard this before? Yes, but tell me one more time, they say. Just one more time. Jesus, do you really believe and trust and depend upon Jesus Christ as your only hope, your only righteousness? Huh? The only way God could accept an old sinner like you is because Jesus Christ came down here as a man and lived for you, and because He did, God accepts you. You really believe that, Joe? You believe that in your heart? Do you love that? How could you not? How could you not love that? That it's not dependent upon what you do. It's done. Well, I love that. I love Him for doing it.
Do you trust him for that?
He just says, just sit back and watch me work. He said, just rest on that. I can do that. I can do that. Can you do that? Sometimes you have to labor to enter into that rest. We're so self-righteous. You have to labor to dismiss all these notions, everything but resting. Do you believe? Do you depend upon him? Well, in the faith is not only the doctrine of it, but a heartfelt belief, trust, love for Christ in here. And this is vital. Vital. Thirdly, to be in the faith is to be joined to and committed to Christ. I put down lock, stock, and barrel. You've heard that. Commit, lock, stock, and barrel. Where'd that saying come from, Rick? You know, Hunter. Has something to do with a gun. Huh? Something to do with a gun. You know, lock, stock, and the barrel. I think, this is what I think, has something to do with surrender. Huh? Isn't it? That's what old Scott used to always say, stack your arms. Turn in your guns. Stack your arms. Surrender. Complete surrender. I know the world uses that term, but it's true nonetheless. Complete surrender. Mind, body, and soul, maybe says it better. Heart. Mind, body, and heart. See if I can illustrate this, what it means to commit to Christ. What it means to surrender to. What it means to be in Christ. Let me see if I can illustrate that. Back when three stories high, wasn't it? And a huge boat. And it could have been there's some people standing outside of that ark saying, boy, that looks like a strong boat. Yeah, that's a good boat. I believe in that boat. I believe that boat, look at the pitch. Oh, it's pitched well. I believe it'll shed water. I believe it'll float. I believe that boat floats. I believe that boat's strong. I believe that boat will hold anybody up out of the water. I believe there's safety in that boat. I believe in that boat. Strong, firm believer in that boat. What is it to be? Believe in that boat. Stand there and say it?
It's to be in the boat.
Now, you show me the man Noah is standing in the boat. He's in the boat. He said, I believe that boat, and I'm going in the boat. And you ain't going to keep me out of the boat. And he goes in the boat.
God brought him in.
God sovereignly drew him in there, didn't he? God said, Noah, come thou, didn't he? And there is a point where God comes to us and draws us and said, will you come in? Will you? But we're made willing in the day of His power. He gives us the will to do so. He gave Noah the will. Noah found grace, didn't he? And he came in and says, God, shut him in. Put him in. So salvation is to commit to Christ, not just believe facts. I believe God's sovereign. I believe Christ is my... It's to commit to Him. And I'm not sure I can explain that. I just believe it has to be done. I'm at a loss for words as to what that means, really. To come to Christ. Commit to it. I will say this. Anybody who just stands out and says, well, that's a good doctrine. Yeah, I believe that. And that makes sense. And if I'm going to be saved, Christ is going to have to do it and all that. That's one thing. That's not salvation. Another thing is, I believe that. Lord, help my unbelief. It's one. Another thing to say, I believe Christ is my only hope. Christ, will you be my hope?
I believe the blood of Christ saved. Lord God, I need saving. Would you shed your blood, make propitiation for my sin on the mercy seat? That's committing. Lord, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. I'm coming. here I am, Lord. Please. Now, you know what it means to commit to somebody. Huh? It's a committal in heart. Unconditional. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I don't know anything. I can't do anything. Please, take me. Take me. Take me. I'm your committal in life. Seeking, studying. Nobody's committed to anything or anyone who's not about that thing. In other words, I'm gonna study to be a lawyer. I'm gonna go to school, study to be a lawyer. If I don't look at my books and study and give diligence, and I'm not ever gonna be a lawyer, am I? Huh? I'm not committed, am I, Jenny? What if you're going to be a nurse and you've got to go through nursing school and it's difficult, microbiology and anatomy and physiology and chemistry and all this sort of thing? What if you never looked at a book? What if you said, I'd like to be a nurse, and you never did anything? Huh? You'd never be a nurse, would you? Well, I'd like to be a Christian. Would you now? I'd like to know Christ. Would you now? Oh, I wish I had faith. Would you now? How you get it? It comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The person said, I'd like to have an answer to this question on Sunday morning. I say, would you now? And Sunday night turns up, where are they? Must not have been too serious. They weren't committed. That's what I'm talking about, being committed. How serious are you? Jeanette's like that person said, hearing that fellow play the piano so well, you know. He said, I'd give anything to play like that. And the fellow said, would you give 8 hours a day for 10 years? He said, that's what I gave. Huh? Commitment of life. Seeking. These are scriptural terms. Seeking, studying, walking, talking, calling. Whosoever shall call. Right? It's vital. Young people, you're not going to be saved by mama and daddy's profession of faith. You're going to have to call. Mama can't pray you through. Jesus Christ is the only one to pray you through. You're going to have to call on Jesus Christ and say, pray for me. Lord, pray for me. Lord, save me. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. Preacher can't do it. It's the reason I don't tell you to come down here and shake my hand. You might as well shake anybody's hand. You might as well come to any bench. Get in your closet and pray to your Father, which is in secret. Lord, save me, my soul. And I really, like I said, I can't explain that. I believe only those who are in the faith know. Paul said, I know, this sums it up, I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded he's able. I know about him too. I know who he is and I know what he's done. I'm persuaded he's able. The salvation's in him to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And he says, prove yourselves. Look at the text again. He says, prove yourselves. Prove the sincerity of your love. Examine yourselves. Take inventory. Is this there? Is this knowledge there? Is this true sincerity there? Am I playing? Let me sum it up by saying this. Are you playing games or are you serious? Are we playing games or are we serious? All right. Read on. He says, know ye not your own selves? Don't you know your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate? Don't care. Well, you say, preacher, I thought the heart was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It is. The natural heart is. But God said, I'll give them a new heart. Didn't he? the natural heart is. It's hard as stone. But he said, I'll give them a heart of flesh. They'll feel. They'll be sensitive. They'll hear. Carnal heart is, but he said, I'll give them the heart of God, my heart. I'll shed abroad the love of God in their heart. Huh? Is that right? Didn't he say his spirit with our spirit? We're sons of God. Huh? God said, look over at 1 John 3. I told you to keep that point, keep that place. 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. He says, I'll give them a new heart. I'll give them a heart to love me. I'll give them a heart to love my ways. I'll give them a heart to love the truth. I'll give them a heart to love others. 1 John 3. Let's hurry. 1 John 3, verse 16, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God. We know something of the love of God, all right, through the gospel. But look at verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. John says this all through his epistle. We know. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure or persuade our own hearts before Him, before God. Read on. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth. In other words, we say, I don't know, and my pastor brought this up, didn't he? He used John Newton's poem, 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it gives me anxious thought. Well, the Lord asked Peter, do you love me? Peter says, well, 'tis a point I long to know, oft it got. Peter said, yea, Lord. And this is what Paul is telling us to do, don't you know? Huh? Granted now, and I have that poem still in the back of my Bible. Granted, there are times when you feel like that you have denied the Lord and feel so sinful and rotten and low down. You don't know if you're in Christ or not or love. We know. We've got to know. This is what Paul's saying, doesn't he? He's saying, don't be satisfied till you come to that conclusion. He said, if your heart condemn you, I don't know if I love the Lord. I don't know if I know the Lord. He says, God's greater than your heart, your conscience. He knows. And if you have some doubts... Beloved, don't look, read on. Verse 20, if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, do you love Christ, these things I've been saying to you? They've either been a comfort to you or they've haunted you. Right? They've either rebuked you and corrected you and convicted you. I don't have that. You've either sat here, if you've examined yourself, and said, I don't have that. I don't have that. I don't have that knowledge. I don't have that belief. I don't have that love for God and the things of God. And I don't have that. Or you sat there and you said, I have that. Huh? Some of you have. Some of you have been sitting there. You've been examining yourselves here. This is what I'm doing. This is what Paul is telling us to do. Examine yourself. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ be in you. What is it for Christ to be in us? Huh? Well, Paul says it's the hope of glory is what it is. It's the hope of getting in heaven. Christ in you. You see that, Joe? He said, you're in Him and He in you. Bottle in smoke and smoke in the bottle, you know. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All right? A new creature in Christ. Christ in Him, He in Christ. But someone says this. Now listen, don't lose me. Someone says, but I feel so sinful. Now this is a person who has agreed with everything I've said thus far. Yes, that's God. I see. That's God. That's the way I worship Him. Yes, I'm rotten sinner. Yes, I see Christ as my only hope, and I've called on Him, and I am calling on Him. I've come to Him, I am coming to Him, but I feel so sinful. I feel so unholy. I don't feel any different than I used to be before I heard the gospel, and before I was supposed to have been saved. regenerated. I don't feel any different. But let me ask you this for your comfort. Did you ever even think about sin before you heard the gospel? Did it bother you at all? Huh? Before you heard the gospel, did you even think about it? Huh? And for some people, their conscience bothers them, and well, it should. They should be convicted of their sin. They haven't yet come to Christ. But for some people, the fact that sin bothers you, the fact that you loathe yourself and hate yourself, that means, listen now, this is comforting. That means that there's another law in your members warring against the law of your mind, your flesh. Huh? You didn't have that before. Remember I gave you the illustration of like two men, believers like two men, and I'm blowing my another message, Rick, but it's all right, it's a good illustration. Like two men living in the same house. Before, one man lived in the house, and he had free reign and free rule, you know, no enemies, no problems at all. He lives his house. He could do as he pleased, no problem. Well, here another man comes in, and he sets up residence there. There's a fight all the time. This one man lives up here, and the other man lives down here, and every now and then they meet on the middle floor and have a fight. Well, Christ comes. This is what happens to a child of God. Christ comes to him. Whereas before, Satan, sin, and self had reign in their heart and their life, reigned and ruled, and there was no problem, you know. It was perfect allegiance, total commitment, no problem. Conscience didn't bother, sin, no problems whatsoever. Then Christ comes, conscience convicted. He comes in, and it's a war. Christ comes in and sets up residence there. He comes in now, and he says, sin shall not have dominion over you. He says, a greater than he is here. I'm here, Christ says. I've come to live, to reign, to rule. A stronger than Satan, a stronger than you is here, now ruling and reigning and in residence. You know, he's called Christ in you. That should have been some comfort for you. The fact that sin plagues you. If it's not just your conscience bothering you, the fact that sin bothers you, that means there's another law warring in your member. It wasn't there before, was it? Huh? And then, you know, he's called the Spirit, the Comforter. Christ said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. Remember he said that? And John, I didn't write it down. John 14, I believe it was. He said, I'll not leave you alone, comfortless. I'll come to you. He's called the Spirit of Christ. Christ in us. The Holy Spirit comes, gives repentance. Continual repentance. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit, when Christ is in you, when the Holy Spirit of Christ is in you, he continually remind you, you can't come to God without the blood. He keeps reminding you of that. He never lets you forget it, Joe. It's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood. If you ever forget that, Christ is not in you. Another spirit will tell you, well, you've believed, now the rest is up to you. Now you go on about your way. No. And a fake faith will do that, not true faith. True faith keeps reminding you, keeps pointing you to Christ, keeps pointing you to the blood. To whom coming, no matter how sinful you get, keep coming back to Christ. It gives a love for God, His ways, His Word. Do you love what we're doing here this morning? Is this a drudgery to you? Huh? Examine yourself. Is this a drudgery? Is this Sunday going to meeting? Is this the joy and rejoicing of your heart? Huh? You want to come back and hear it again? It just would delight my heart for you to do so. I'd just be pleased as pudding. To tell it all again, I'll start over. If you want to start over here in about 10 minutes, I'll Go back to page one. Is this a drudgery to you, or is this, do you love this? Examine yourself. You see, I'm not giving any standards, anything for you to do. It's just examine yourself. And this is what the love of God shed abroad in your heart is. A love for worshiping God. Henry, there was a time when it was like pulling teeth for me to be in the house of God. But now I truly say from the heart, can you say it? I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of God. Where'd that come from? Well, I didn't drum it up. That's Christ in you. Spirit of adoption. You come to God like He's your Father. Fruit. Yeah, there's fruit. There's fruit. There's an actual change. Some people say, I don't feel any different. You are. I've observed it in a short period of time in some people in here. I've observed a marvelous, miraculous change. They don't feel it. We don't feel it, do we? It's like looking at your child every day. You don't see much growth in them. When somebody hadn't seen him for years comes back and says, boy, he's grown. And I see that in some of you all. You say, I don't feel any different. You are. I can see it. Huh? And you can too. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You look at it in others and you say, I see this. They are not. And you say, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm not what I want to be. But you are not what you used to be. There's no doubt. Don't you know? Don't you know? I do. Now listen, my sins plague me more than ever. But Henry, I'm not in the gutter anymore. I'm just not there. I don't get any credit in England. I'm giving God all the glory. I'm just stating facts. And I do have thoughts for God. I'm not getting any credit or giving myself any glory or patting myself on the back. I'm just saying, God did that. It's there. And He says, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Now you take this message, if you didn't hear it this time, you take it, you go home, and you get you a tape player, and you examine yourself again. Okay? You take this, say, I didn't hear it that time. I didn't understand it. Get it and listen to it again. I couldn't preach a more vital message. Know you not your own self? Have that Christ be in you? Except you be a reprobate? Oh, I don't want to be a reprobate. Do you? And one proof of reprobacy is people that don't care. I will. Good sermon, preacher.
What's for dinner?
All right.
I've been through you, so from the Word of God.
I hope you'll hear me. Hear the Word of God. Joe, what was the number? What did I give you, buddy? 228. Sherry, if you'll come up, sing a couple of verses of this in closing. 228. Has your faith found a resting place? Not in device nor creed. I trust to every living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. Come on up here, Joe, if you would, please, and lead us in singing this. Whichever, this is it. Let's sing the first and third verses, okay?
Okay, first and third. Please stand.